was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear is really. How precious be that grace of you, be I first be.
Good to see each one of you out this morning. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles and read along with us, turn to Revelation, the 18th chapter. We'll read the same scripture we read last Sunday and preach the same message again, I guess, because I told you that's what we'd try to do, would just be maybe to preach a little on it last week, and then this week we'd try to get down and slow down a little bit, so we'll try to be preaching the same sermon over again, just about it from the same note, so you just pray for us this morning. Revelation 18, verse 1 through 4. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen. Now what did we say last week about that? See, that's when Rome fell. Because the Roman Catholic Church used to be the original church. You'd have to take the prophet, deny what he says. He said the Catholics was the first church. See, because that's where it started out at. But then she's fallen here now. See, she is fallen. Because that's what this is saying. And he has become the habitation of devils and the hold of ever foul spirit and the cage of ever unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Let's all just pray together. Father, we thank you for an opportunity of being here, and we pray that you would just come now and break your bread unto us. We've prayed to you. We've asked you for our petitions. We've sung songs about thee and your grace and love and mercy. Now it's time for you to speak. So we pray that you'd help each one of us just to get out of the way, that we may all have our hearts right in you. Forgive us this day, Lord, of our many mistakes and the many mistakes that we'll make. But yet we know that your grace is sufficient to cover all our needs. Have your will and way. Bless each one in the services, Lord, and just grant us understanding. That's our prayer, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. It's good to see you out this morning. Good to have Dick and Gail with us. We appreciate you coming and fellowshipping with us, because that's all we are, the fellowship. That's like Brother Brown said, it's two fellers in the same ship. So that's, I guess this morning you could say we're all in the same boat. We need help. We need the Lord. We need God to come on the scene and move among us. And I believe he's doing that. So I'm not saying, well, we look out yonder and need him somewhere else. I'm trying to preach now more than I ever have in my life at what's already been and what is taking place. If you've been paying attention, that's been the main thought that I've had for quite a while, is not what will be. Because we don't know that. You watch today and see what the prophet was saying about it. It's what's already been. As I said last week, you can only have faith in what's already been. Sure, you can depend on the future, and, you know, everybody's looking for a heaven to go to. But we know they're not going to have rapture and faith to go to that, because they can't look at the past. They look at the wrong place in the past. They look back. They look back, but they look to right Nicaea or wherever they started at. But we've got to look back to the Word. Now watch that in the message and just see that everything that we see, we've got to see it as something that's already passed. And then when it's already passed, then you can see God working right among us now. Because he works on the basis, as I said, if you had a company and wanted to borrow money, you couldn't borrow money on your future dealings, could you? You'd have to borrow it on what you've already done and your record. See, now watch that now, because that's an important point. I've been trying to get that across for quite a while. But just think now, what have we been doing for a while? We've just reviewed for a minute. We've spoken for quite a while on one thought, the seventh seal. Now, back years ago, we've covered many different things about the seventh seal. But what are we trying to get to now? We're trying to see that the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord. That's been our thought for quite a while now, is the seventh seal is His coming. Now, we've already read this. If you want to put them down and read them when you get home, book page 17, Christ is a Mystery of God Revealed, page 558 of the seal book, page 23 of Souls in Prison, just for three, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established, that the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord. Now, there's nothing written there in the Scriptures. So you're going to have something to base that on. You're going to have to find a place to base it. And as Brother Woodby asked in the minister's meeting this last time, what would you use? You know, like each seal's got a tab sticking out. You know how that Brother Branham taught that they're rolled up and there's a little tab sticking out, and that little tab would say White Horse Rider, maybe. The next one would say Red Horse Rider, and the next one, black one. You know, and the next one is pale. Well, then you don't have a tab maybe sticking out like that away, but you still got to have something to go on. And then when you get to your sixth seal, it had something to go on. When you got to your fifth seal and sixth seal, there was something, some scripture there to go on. But when you come to the seventh, there was nothing. Well, now you've got to have something to go on. And Brother Branham took Revelation 7, said, now we've got this right here. He said, this is all we've got to go on. That this is all the scripture we got to go on, which was a calling out of Israel. All right, then knowing what we know now, what would be the, if you'd say there's a little tab sticking out for the seventh seal, what would that little tab be? Watch what I just said now. It'll have to be something already passed, but it'd have to be the entire Bible. And Brother Branham, when he preached Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, he said, I want to use the entire Bible today to preach a message entitled Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. He didn't say Jesus the Mystery of God Revealed. He said Christ. Because see, we found that we're part of the mystery. See, we're part of it. If he'd just said Jesus the Mystery of God Revealed, then that would have been all of it. That settled it in Jesus Christ. You'd have had a oneness. See? But now, it's Christ the mystery. So all right, then from that, we can look back at this whole Bible. And if this whole Bible don't come out to one thing, then we've got the wrong revelation. See, that's why no denomination could ever do that. No denomination could do what the prophet said, take the entire Bible and watch it come out to one thing. See, a denomination, they can't take it that way, because it'll always come out to something different or another person or something involved. It won't come out to you being part of the mystery. It'll come out to just, you know, a church being God, and oh, ain't it great? We're all going to heaven one of these days. You know, it'll come out something like that. But now think, Brother Branham said on that page 17, Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, he said, today, the Lord willing, he said, we'll see how it's unfolded. Now he's talking about the coming of the Lord. Now that's what I want you to see. He's talking about the coming of the Lord. And he said, the Lord willing, you'll see how it's unfolded itself down to this present hour that we're living. Now, as I've tried to get you to see for the past few weeks, why would he say it that way? That's an odd statement to me, because he was putting all the emphasis not on 83 or 95 or 2000 or eternity or anything like that. He's putting it right there where he was in 1963. And he's saying, now, you'll see this morning why I've said what I've said and done what I've done all the years at the tabernacle. He said, you'll see it today. And then he preached the message. And in the message he said, now watch how it's unfolded itself down to this present hour, he said, that we're living. All right, now we all familiar, and if you're not, if you don't know the wording, I don't know how to pronounce it, but I've got a great old big book at home that the brothers has printed up called Parousia. And it means His literal presence.
It doesn't mean he's off over yonder somewhere and anoints you with the Spirit, you know. It doesn't mean there's another person somewhere else and this person of the Holy Ghost anointing you and all like that. It means all that that is right there. Well, as I said years ago, I preached on that, but I'm glad these brothers come out with that because God revealed that to me. And then they proved that he revealed it to me because I didn't have all them great big Greek words to go to. I just took what the prophet said, that the seventh seal was the coming of the Lord. I looked up the word come in a dictionary, and it don't mean, you know, well, Dick, I'm coming down to your house. It don't mean what we think it means. That seemed like I'll get in the car, you know, and I'll drive down the road, 60 miles, you know, and I'll finally get there. It doesn't mean that. It means you're there. See? We say, come down to my house. That's really incorrect. We should say, get in your car and journey my way. See, because when I say come, that means I'm supposed to be right there. Well, that was all it took for the Lord to reveal then that the seventh seal that had no scripture whatsoever there for a background would take the entire Bible and sum it up in one thing and say it was the coming of the Lord, the great mystery that all of the worlds look for. The great thing to watch that even Jesus, he said himself, said, I don't, when they ask him, he said, I don't know when I'll come. He said, the angels in heaven know nothing about it. Said, only the Father knows. All right, now that would be a mystery that would, he wouldn't even be able to understand. And did you catch what I was talking about the other day, why he couldn't know that? He had not experienced it. You can only tell me about the God that's in you. You can't tell me about the God of Brother Branham. That's fine. Or the God of Paul or the God of Elijah. You can only tell me about the God that's in your life. The experience you've had in your life. Well, like Jesus hadn't come the second time, had he? When he was there in flesh. That was his first coming. He took every scripture in the Bible to speak of his first coming. You know, the Old Testament, then there he was. He finally arrived. Well, he couldn't tell you about the second coming because he hadn't come yet. But now when he went back to the Father, he said the Father knew, but when he went back, so he said, I come from God, I go to God. When he went back to that place, or that office we'd call it, or whatever you'd want to say to where that you'd get it in the right order, when he went back to being God, as Sister Bird said one time, I was preaching on it, and I said, he come from God and went to God. She said, he is God all time, wouldn't he? I said, yeah, that's what we've been trying to get across, that he was God all time, see. And when he went back to that, now he knew when he'd come. So he could go over here to John in the book of Revelation and put it in symbol form to cover his entire coming. And it still be a mystery that was locked up in the scriptures. It could not be comprehended until a prophet would come that those symbols and things could be broken. All right, see, then Jesus hadn't experienced his second coming. He couldn't tell you about his second coming. Brother Branham said, you'll see how it's unfolded itself, he said, right down to this present hour. All right, he wasn't talking about 83, was he? He was talking about that was when that was preached, 1963. He couldn't tell you about 1983. That would have been a prophecy. A prophecy is speaking of the future events, you know. Telling something of the future. Alright? But you can only tell me what you've experienced right now. Then what you've experienced can speak of the future. What you've lived through can speak of the future. It can tell about the future. But you can only tell me what you've lived. All right? Then Brother Branham said it's unfolded itself right down, he said, to the present hour that we're living. And he said you'd see it there. All right? Then that's as far as he could tell anybody. He couldn't tell you about 83. That would have been a prophecy. See what I'm driving at? Then the coming of the Lord would be his presence here with us. And Jesus then wouldn't have to tell you about it back there in the Scriptures, because he was going to be over here himself, present with you, to tell you about it. As I've often tried to explain about my wife, if I was overseas, you know, and I'd write her a letter, and I'd say, "Honey, I'm going to come home one of these days." That would be telling her something I was going to do. But if I was going to use the word "come" exactly right, then I'd be standing on the porch at the house knocking on the door, and when she come to the door, I'd hand her the letter. I'd say, "I'm here." See, I wouldn't have to tell her all about what I was traveling and my journey getting there. I'd be there myself, wouldn't I? See, then she could ask me how I got there. Well, now, that's what I believe about God now. I believe we can go to him and ask him how he got to where he's at now, because he's here with us. He's not off out yonder somewhere having to come here. If we'd have believed that all along, we wouldn't have had the trouble that we've had. Doesn't the Bible say, "I'll leave you, never leave you nor forsake"? That was forever age. But how much more would it be when it would come down to this time? If that scripture were just speaking of the end, how much more would he be here with us down here in the end then? Well, why should we worry? And Brother Brown said to the little bird, said he don't have no heart attack. He said he just sits out there on the road and gets him something to eat and don't worry about nothing. Builds his nest and lays his eggs and hatches them out and just go right on every day. Just something tells him to go south, he just goes south. See, if we just depend on God like that. But now, as I said, you can't depend on him unless you've got something in you that has brought you to where you are. You cannot depend on somebody else's experience. You can't depend on somebody else's life. I don't care who it is. Jesus himself said, "Even my own life, Peter, couldn't reveal that unto thee." Well, then nobody else's life couldn't reveal nothing to me. It would have to be the Lord doing the revealing. See, it would have to be him right here among us. Then in that, if we can look at it that way, then we shouldn't have any problems. As I told you the other week, I know now where the rapture is. The Lord willing, tonight we'll try to pick it up, because I want to just ease up there. But the rapture's already in process. We've all taught that. Everybody says, "We're in the rapture." Oh, ain't it great? We're in the rapture. The shout's done sounded, and we're in the rapture. Luther was a part of the rapture. Now, if you can see how he was a part of the rapture, you might be able to see how we're already in. If Luther wasn't a part of the rapture, he won't make it. You say, "Oh, yeah, but he's died and gone on and..." If Luther wasn't a part of the rapture, then he wouldn't have no hope. Now, we've got to see the coming first. See, get this out of the way. Because, as I said, these 2 hours, what that's for, this is the coming of the Lord, and that's the going. That's the rapture. People are looking at the seventh seal as the rapture. That's not the rapture. Something comes out of that. After all that's revealed to you, something comes out of that and takes you away. See, the seventh seal's a coming. You got to get the Lord here before he can take us there. You got to have him here, because he's the only one that can rapture us. See, we can't rapture ourselves. We can't change ourselves. We can't do anything like that. But we can depend on the Lord because he's with us. Then we shouldn't have any trouble with it, should we? All right, now just think about it. It had not unfolded down to where we are now. It only unfolded to 63 when the prophet was talking about it. The coming of the Lord now that he was talking on had not unfolded down to where it has now. It only unfolded where he was. See, if we can't see it that way, then we'll miss the whole thing. But now, watch the coming of the Lord. There's three things that I said last week in the coming of the Lord. You've got the coming of the Lord to the bride. You've got the coming of the Lord in the tribulation to the Jews. And you've got the coming of the Lord in a corporal body in the millennium. Now, that's three things in the Scriptures. It's also three things in Brother Brown's message. If we confuse those scriptures, isn't the coming of the Lord the biggest confusion there is in our denominational churches? Isn't that the biggest confusion that there is? One says a white horse, one says a cloud, one says this, one says that, and I'm talking about the people of this message is worse than any of them. Because they've got it down this way that Brother Brown's got to come back and put up a tent, and then this group's got it that this man's a certain thing, and this one's a certain thing, and that one's a certain thing, and all these things has got to happen. This is going that way, and this is going that way. But cover the three things in the Scriptures. You've got Scriptures that talk about the bride, the secret rapture of the church, you know, and things like that. You've got things that covers there about the Jews in the tribulation, how he'll reveal himself and show them, and they'll see the nail prints in his hands and things. All right, then you've got, and he's not even there in a corporal body then. Then you've got, in the millennium, he comes back in a corporal body and stands on the earth, and those three things are covered in the second coming of Christ. That's why it's so confusing. All right, it's the same way with the prophet's message, as I said. He covers quotations about the three. He covers the three times of the coming throughout the message. All right, then we've got to rightly divide that and see what the second coming is to the church. Because I hope we're not, if we're over there in the tribulation, there ain't no second coming to us. And we surely wouldn't be in the millennium then, wouldn't we? So let's don't worry about them too. Although I can take the Scriptures and Brother Brown's message and preach those two, and you'll see it this morning of what it is, that when we get to really seeing what it is, you'll see that you can go right to the tribulation and it's the same identical thing happens. Even to the fact that the seventh trumpet to Israel is the same thing as the seventh seal is to the bride. Alright, then you could go right over in the tribulation and take what's in the tribulation and what happens and come right back over here and show the same thing happening to the church. See, if it won't fit that way, then we don't have a revelation. We've got some kind of an intellect, you know, just statements. But what is the coming of the Lord? We've talked about it being His presence, Him being here with us, and things like that. What is the coming of the Lord to the bride now? And if you'll watch it, you'll see that it covers all the things that we've spoke on here for years about how the coming of the Lord's revealing of His Word. Then John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right, then the coming of the Lord would not be, we're not looking for Him in a literal presence like this piano. See? That would be the millennium when He comes back in a corporal body. We know we meet the body of Jesus Christ in the air. See, in the rapture going up, we meet the body in the air. So something's got to happen here to take us there to meet the body. So it's not something like that. But it's something that's going on among us. And if we miss that, then surely we would miss the rapture. Brother Brandon one time said, if we miss faith, he said, then we miss it all. See, if we miss what the coming of the Lord is, then there would be no excuse. We have the prophet's message. We have the Bible. If we miss His coming, we have no excuse. We wouldn't have nothing we could go to. So what is the coming of the Lord now? If it's the revealing of His Word, because He's the Word, then it would have to have something to do with every believer in this Bible. See what I'm driving at? That He's the Word, and we've already talked about a while ago how that it's Christ the mystery of God revealed, which means we're part of the mystery. All right, then every believer in this Bible, as I've tried to explain many times to people, like this, that when God wanted to tell man in the Old Testament, for example, He wanted to tell man about Himself. Now, isn't that the purpose of the whole Bible? Was for God to tell man about, who'd He talk about? He talked about man. He talked about the man that was on the earth at the time and what was going on. That's the way He was telling people about Himself. All right, then it would be the same in the New Testament. That all the way through the New Testament, all the way through from the book of Acts and all the way down, God would be trying to get man to see Him. You read in the New Testament. Just read sometimes like the book of Romans. Or take the book of Galatians or something and read it. And see how many times the Lord refers to Himself. Now it's Him trying to explain Himself to us, isn't it? But how many times does He refer to His own person? He doesn't do it. He refers to the man. He refers to me and you. And that's how He explains Himself. You couldn't comprehend it no other way. Brother Branham said, a God that covers all time and eternity and millions and billions of trillions of light years on out through yonder, there's still stars and all like that going on out. And He said, on out past that and all of that, all into the eternity. And He said, a God that covered all of that. How could you explain Him to man unless you talked about what's in your own life? Now, where's the preachers today? Don't most of the preachers spend their time talking about the God of Brother Branham or some kind of this or something that's going on, you know, in the land and how the persecution's coming and how all these things is doing? Don't most of them spend their time doing that? Well, then there's something wrong with their revelation, because I can only see a revelation that way. I can only see that the God that's in me, it's the one that's working. I can't trust your God. I don't know Him. I can trust what's in me, though. And you know why I can trust what's in me? Now watch. It's because He's been with me all the time. Not because He will be with me, or even because He's with me now, because He's been with me all the time. He's brought me to where I'm at now. And you'll see that the coming of the Lord's already in process and been in process. See, it took 4,000 years to get Him here the first time. And every believer in the Bible spoke of His first coming. We've heard of the types and the shadows and the things. Everybody typing Christ and David typing Christ and all of them typing Christ. It took all that 4,000 years to get Him here. Well, would it be too bad for take 2,000 to get Him here the second time? But now watch that. What is the coming of the Lord? We can talk about it being the revealed word. We can talk about it being, you know, oh, great things will happen in the land and all these things. And see, people will say, Roy, Brother Branham said, when you see Russia coming down after all, said, then the Lord's fixing to come. They'll just be preaching all night. But you don't hear them preach about the God that's in their life. I wonder about it then. Is God in their life? Because I love to tell you about what's in me. Isn't the greatest thing in the world for your name to be called? Isn't that what science says? It's the greatest thing that you cherish more of anything if somebody call your name. Well, the greatest cherishment I have in all of my life is what's in me. I cherish my family. I love them. I cherish my children. I love them and all like that. But the greatest thing I have in my life is what's inside of me. See, I know about that. I know about them things. Because He's in there. But now watch. What is the coming of the Lord? What is the great seventh seal mystery that we talked about being the coming of the Lord? What is that great mystery that was sealed up in the Bible and spoken of, Brother Branham says, from Genesis 5:36, I believe it is, the seal book. He said it spoke of from Genesis. Well, now, if it spoke of, then if we can find where it spoke of in the Bible, then we ought to know where it's at. Well, then if you can't see what I just brought through, that all the believers in the Bible spoke of His first coming. You know, the Old Testament. All in the New Testament then would speak of His second coming. And even back throughout the Old Testament would speak of His second coming. Because there's many, many types and shadows and things you could cover. But now, just think with me. We read it last week. On page 15, it's the rising of the sun. Where Brother Branham says, talks about that it's the bride coming of Christ. Now that's what he's speaking of. See, not the Jews and not the millennium. It's the bride coming of Christ that he's talking about. And what did he say that was? He said the bride coming of Christ coming out of the church. Now, as my wife said the other day, that's just too simple for us to believe. Well, I guess that would put it back there in the Old Testament. Then it was just too simple to believe that 4,000 years was spent speaking of a coming of some great one, and then all you got is a baby. Now, that's a whole lot, ain't it? That's why they couldn't understand it. If he'd have come down with a great, you know, great angelic choirs and great fighting horsemen riding down there, they'd have believed he was the Messiah. So would people today believe it. If you had some kind of tantalizing thing that would make them feel good in their flesh and, you know, make them really happy. But all you got is the Word. All you got about anything from you going six seals, you had to have a prophet to even get that far. But from there on out, you ain't got nothing but what he said. See what I'm talking about? It from up to the sixth seal, at least you had scripture, but you ain't even got none on the seventh. We got to depend on him for six. Well, sure, I have to depend on somebody to get the seventh then. So it would have to be his message that bring the seventh. So it would have to be him telling us what it is, not us, see, because it wouldn't be that way. But now, he said the bride coming of Christ, he's talking about a sheaf wave. He's talking about how, that you remember in the Old Testament, when they would come to a harvest time and you'd get ready to gather your wheat, you'd go out and gather up a little handful of wheat, you'd cut it off, you wouldn't, you know, go out and get the worst, no, you'd get the best, you'd get everything ready, you wouldn't put your sickle in, you wouldn't cut it and say, well, all right, y'all boys start cutting the wheat, I'm going to tell the priest about it and let him wave it. You didn't do a thing until you cut that handful of wheat. You took it in to the priest and you said, now, priest, I want you to wave this before the Lord. And see, that was showing that more wheat was coming. You had a field full, ready to be harvested. Well, then in explaining it, Brother Branham said the Lord Jesus, he said the Word was raised up there in the Bible and waved on the day of Pentecost. And said when it was waved, said that was showing here's one wave, see, one word, showing that more Word was coming. There was going to be a great harvest. All right, he says, now in the end time, there is to be a sheaf waved again. And that's where people get so confused, they make that Brother Branham, see? And if they ain't careful with it, they'll make him deity. But it was the Word to be waved again in the last days. And that Word that was to be waved again was the same Word in the beginning was the Word. If you'll read the page I'll give you, it'll be on there. That same Word is the Lord Jesus Christ to be waved again in the last days, not a prophet, but the prophet. In a prophet, the Word, see, made manifest in the end time was waved that more Word was coming. More sons was coming. In other words, put it like this, Brother Branham come to maturity. See what it was with the Lord Jesus? Only in type now, because if you don't just type it there, you'll make him deity. Now, if you'll make him deity and me deity, then we'll go deity that way, and I'll preach it to you that way. But if you're going to make him just deity and me not, then we won't preach it that way. We'll just preach him as a type. But if you people could understand and that deity doctrine hadn't went around, the baptism of the Holy Ghost in you, the least member here that's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that is deity. That's God living in you. That is deity. That don't make you the flesh deity. It's the deity that's in there. All right, then that Word was waved, showing that more Word would come. All right, now what's he saying? In the bride coming of Christ. The prophet said, now you'll see how this seventh seal unfolded itself down to this present hour, he said, we're living. All right, then he could see how that he had come out of the church, hadn't he? Now, in the bride, coming of Christ is coming out of the church. Now, you think, even on the day of Pentecost, what is the main message that the disciples, Peter, Paul, James, and all of them that wrote in the New Testament, what's their main theme? What's their main message? Trying to get people away from a world of tradition. Isn't that the whole theme of the Bible? Wasn't it even in Paul that even after his conversion, he was trying to get you to see what was working something? He said there's one wants to go one way and one wants to go the other way. He said they're just a fight and a turmoil going on all the time. What was causing that? He knew that it was his old ways that he had been taught and lived and was raised. Because then they raised him right to the letter of salvation being by works. See, they'd lost the word that's teaching salvation by works. Now, if that ain't ever organization, you name one it ain't. I'm talking about this message. My organization to me starts here and goes all the way back. Doesn't everybody teach salvation by works? You name one it don't. Every organizational system, that's what an organization is. Wasn't it Cain in the beginning that started it? Didn't Eve start the ball rolling when she walked out there? And so deceived, she said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. So deceived in what she was doing, and what was the thing that the first one that come out from there, what did he do? Tried to work his way to heaven. Everybody ever since then has been tied up in that. Brother Branham all the way down. You think he wouldn't? He said, I'm a hybrid. You think Paul wasn't trying to be saved from his own self? Who do you think he's trying to be saved from? Who are you trying to be saved from today? I hope it's not me. You can do that mighty easy. You can get up and leave. That'd save you from me. But now you better be trying to be saved from yourself. See, because you're built there to a certain way. From the time a baby's born in a hospital room, it starts to be programmed. The minute it opens its eyes, its heart starts beating. It begins to breathe. From that very minute, that baby is being programmed into an organizational system. The Baptist is no more organizational than any other organization. The Methodists, the Catholic, or what? They're good people. So are the people of this message. So is me and you. But we've been taught a certain way. We've been taught that this is right. We've been taught this is our right hand. That might be our left. Who knows? We say we're on the top side of the earth. Well, a fella on the bottom would say the same thing, wouldn't he? See, it's what we've been taught all the years that we went through our life, we've been taught certain things. And that's what we need to be saved from. You say, I'm already born again. I'm already saved from that. Well, let's just use examples and just see. Paul was a part in the second coming of Christ. Now think with me. Paul was a part in the second coming because the Lord, as I said, spent 4,000 years getting here the first time. He's been working 2,000 years this time in his coming. A church so great now that the book of Acts was written behind it. A church so great that they'd say, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ rise up and walk. But yet that church never come all the way out. If it had come all the way out, it wouldn't have died and went in the ground. I challenge that on the basis of Brother Brown's message and all the Bible put with it. If they'd have just come all the way out, it never went to the ground. Anybody could see that with common sense. But listen, what was the message we preached this the other week? If you could take, everybody says we want to restore fallen Eve, you know, back to the Garden of Eden. We want to get back to the day of Pentecost, where the book of Acts. Well, now, I'm telling you, the book of Acts didn't come all the way out in the coming of the Lord, just what I'm trying to tell you. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. They didn't come all the way out. If they'd have come all the way out like we've got to come all the way out, then it would have been over then. But see, they didn't get all the way out. They couldn't get to church all the way out. It wasn't time for it to come out. It was predestination, all that, but it wasn't time. But still, they didn't get it out. But if you took Eve and said, back to the Garden of Eden, what have you got? Everybody says, let's go back to the day of Pentecost. Boy, let's get back to the day of Pentecost. Got to get back to faith of the fathers. They fail. Didn't the church fall away from that? Well, what if you put it back there again? If you just put it back there, it'll fall again. You say, we can get back to the Garden of Eden. Put Eve back in the Garden of Eden, she'd just fall again. It just come right out the same identical way again. It wouldn't be anything changed. But now listen, if you can put Eve back in that side of Adam, then she won't fall. Put the church back in the side of Christ and she don't fall. See, Paul couldn't get it back in the side. Because there was too much involved, he couldn't put it back in the side where it fell from. That's what he was trying to do. See, they knew that it would fall away. Paul even prophesied of it. He knew the church would fall away. But listen, that was a very part right there now in that church that Paul was trying to get them to come out. Peter, James, and all of them in their preaching was trying to get a church to come out away from traditions of man. Didn't Paul cover it over when he was talking to the Galatians, old foolish Galatians who hath bewitched you, you know? Things like that. Wasn't that his message? To try to get them to come out? Because you can't go up unless you get out. You got to get out before you can go up. That's why no denomination could ever make the rapture, because it in itself is the cause of the fall. Eve organized it there in the garden. And when it fell, then there's no way. But if you can get her back to the side of Adam, then you got it made. The church is what fell away, not Jesus Christ. You read spoken words, original seed, and see if the prophet didn't say them words. He said the church fell, not Jesus. See, it don't fall. All right, then, if you can get the church back where it's supposed to be, then you got it made. Everything will be all right if we can just get back inside of the Lord Jesus, the second Adam. But now, just think now. That's the theme of all the New Testament, is to try to restore the church. Didn't Jude get over there and say, earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints? Well, then, can you see that now, that everybody in the Bible was trying to get you to come out? Come out, come out. That's been the whole thing. I've come out of two churches since I've been in this message, and I'm still trying to come out of myself. It wouldn't do, now watch, it wouldn't do you one bit of good to do as Brother Moat said years ago, get your coat and hat and leave. Now you can get your coat and hat and you can pick up and walk out of the church. You can say, boy, bless God, I'm out. Boy, I don't have nothing to do with them organizations no more. I'm out of it. You're an organization yourself. Now, how are you going to get out of yourself? You've got to get away from everything you ever believe. Watch it and you'll see it. Now, let's just take a run through the Bible in a hurry, or what I call the Bible, because it's the New Testament all the way through. Luther, to save time, just come on over to where he was at. When Luther come out of the Catholic Church, right there was the coming of the Lord. Now, are you going to mess up what the prophet said? He said, in the bride coming of Christ, coming out of the church. All right, Luther started the coming out. But he couldn't get the church out as far as Paul and them had it. But yet it was the coming out. And God was just as happy in that as he is today. Because he was present there. See, we're looking for the coming when it's already over. That's what I want you to see. We're looking for the coming when it's already over. He was just as happy, wasn't he, there in person with Luther and them when he come out? Who was it in that day? As I tried to get you to see some of it last week. Who was it in that day that was coming out of the church? Wasn't there many people before Luther come out of the Catholic Church? Isn't it recorded in history, and I'll find it in the Church Age book if you want it, where Brother Brown said there was many, many uprisings of little things that where people would try to protest the Catholic Church? Why didn't they have an effect? His brother Dick there and I were talking the other day about why didn't God call Polycarp a church age messenger? When Brother Brown spent more time in the church age series talking about Polycarp than he did Irenaeus. But he chose Irenaeus because Irenaeus was that coming out, but Polycarp wasn't, because Polycarp lent to organization. And you know all he wanted to do? He just wanted them to get together in fellowship. That's all he wanted the church to do, was get together in fellowship. But that was leaning towards organization. You say, we need the fellowship. You better fellowship right. We need fellowship. Yeah, I agree. We need two fellows in the same ship. Yeah, I agree there. We need to fellowship, but fellowship right. People say, well, it don't harm me to fellowship this way or that way. Get me right. The church failed it back there at Belpore when she went to fellowship. I love fellowship. There ain't nobody in this message that loves fellowship any more than I do. But listen, make your fellowship right, because you'll bring out things. Watch it now. Luther, when he come out, that was the coming of the Lord. Wesley, when he come out, that was the coming of the Lord. Pentecost, when they come out, that was the coming of the Lord. Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you ain't got nothing to put anywhere else. Now watch, you come over here with a word, but understand me. In the birth of a baby, you've got water, blood, spirit. You know, water, blood, and life. Now, you can't put nothing else in between there. Now, you see what I'm talking about? He didn't move on them to come out. He moved on them for the time, and they lived and were happy, and God worked among them in great miracles. The dead raised. Everything in the world could happen like that. But that still wasn't the coming of the Lord. See, when he moves, you've got to go. The first message I preached in this message, in this church right here, was going beyond man's camp. You remember it? Going beyond man's camp. Because Jesus was crucified outside the gate. We got to go out to him. Brother Branham said, you'll see what I've done all the years at Tabernacle. If you can't see what I've done all the years here at this church, then you're blind as a bat. Because God's been heading out all the time. But now listen. Luther couldn't get the church all the way out, so he only spoke of the real thing. Now listen, he was a part of the second coming because he was coming out of the church, but he only spoke of this end time. Wesley, part of it, but he only spoke of the end time. Pentecost, the old black man out there with the cross-eyed or one-eyed or something there on Azusa Street when the Holy Ghost fell. That was the move of God, that he moved right out and said, come on, church. Now listen, a prophet was sent in the last days. They were great men in our day. Look at even F.F. Bosworth. Brother Brown called him the old oak tree. Look at those great people back there that protested all of that system and wouldn't send their children to colleges to teach them to be preachers. Fought all that organization, didn't he? First thing you know, they just ride back over into it. See, Luther couldn't come out because he brought it out with him. But that was God moving. Wesley couldn't get it out. He brought out some with him. That was still God moving. Pentecost, they come out. That was God's move. Now there's a move in the end time. A prophet's message that went forth. Not in the years of preparation, I'm quoting from the rapture message, but when he began to sound his message, it was time to come out. He was calling them out before then, calling, preaching against organized religion. Just up every tape you hear, he preached against it, didn't he? But when the seals broke to the prophet, what did he say? He said, I see now. He said, I'd never seen it right. He said, I've always fought organized religion, but he said, I see now why I fought it. See, it was something in his life that was built into that hour, but then he said, come out. That's why I read at Revelation 18:4, because that's what it is. Come out of her, my people. The bride coming of Christ is coming out of the church. Now, what did the prophet preach to us to come out of? A lot of people got their coats and hats and left meeting houses and went to another one. But was that the coming of the Lord? No, that wasn't part of that. Was they'll be there. They'll be bright. That's fine. That's good and true. But we're talking about His coming. Something that was sealed up in the Bible. When they come out, they could only speak of what I'm talking about. When Knox and Finney and Calvin and them fought organizations and things of their day, they could only speak about what I'm talking about. Brother Brown's message, when it went forth, it said, come out of her, my people. See, there was the move of God to go up. That's why you sealed. The prophet's message was not in the years of preparation. Read the rapture book. It's not in the years, he said, of preparation, but he said when he begins to sound his message. Now, he began to sound his message when the seals broke, because that was the prophet's message. I've even tried to get the minister brothers to see that when the seals broke, that's the prophet's message. The rest of it was a restoration back to the faith of the fathers, back to what the Bible taught and all. But the seals, that's why you don't go into rapture without it. Now, God can wink at ignorance of people and things like this and that and the other, but I'm talking about without the understanding of what you got to understand. He was calling us out to get us away from what we are. Now, you just think. It is, now watch what I said and see if you can follow this point. It is not the second coming of me and you that we're talking about. It's the second coming of Christ that I'm talking about. See, it's not just me and you say, well, look, we'll just close the doors today and we'll go to another church. Boy, we're coming out of that, ain't we? Now, that's got to be done. Don't get me wrong. Maybe that needs to be done. Maybe we need to close these doors and go somewhere else and come out. But that's not it. See, that would be me and you just going somewhere else. That would be our coming out. You caught what I was saying about Luther? When God moved, Luther left. Luther could have tried to leave the day before. That one day, but a good. You want an example of it? Didn't Moses try to go out? Didn't he try to make an uprising and kill some people and get them to believe him? He wound up with a stinking dead Egyptian. That's all he got out of it. But one day, God met him on the backside of the desert and said, come on, now it's time. See, you can't do it without him. It's not you doing it anyway. If it is, you just got your coat and hat and left. Why, it wouldn't do you a bit of good to leave anywhere else and come to Lula, or leave Lula and go anywhere else unless God directs you. I'm as honest as I can be about that. I'm not trying to build a church. I'm trying my best to build a kingdom for Jesus Christ. Because if it takes closing out here and going somewhere else, let's go then, because that will be His coming. That prophet of God saw how that down through all of that time that he'd been coming out. Then all at once he saw what it was. He saw what the bride coming of Christ was. See, that's after the seals broke. When he saw that, he called it the bride coming of Christ. The Lord willing, I'll show you tonight that if the Lord get it in the right place, he was looking for what the shout and the voice of the archangel and things like that throughout the seal book. He says on the seal book, he said, I'll be glad when that great shout comes out yonder, and the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. But when he got to the rapture book, he said, it's already over. See, he was catching it himself as he come along. Just like that. See, he was looking and wondering what the seventh seal coming was. He said, it's the bride coming to Christ. He says, coming out of the church. Then he knew that all of that time that he'd been coming out. But it's not my coming out. It's his coming. I ain't talking about my coming. There's been plenty of people who rose up and fought churches and done things like that. But when the Lord says move, all right now, the seventh seal, watch it and we'll just run through this in a hurry. because I believe you've got the background. The seventh seal to the bride, page 23, Feast of the Trumpets, is the same thing as the seventh seal. A seventh seal to the bride is the same thing as the seventh trumpet is to Israel. Now what is, now see, we don't have none of the seventh seal to read because it says silence in heaven, space, a half hour. But now if the seventh seal to the bride is the same thing as the seventh trumpet is to Israel, we can read the seventh trumpet. You know what that says? Now watch it be his coming, watch it be right down here to me and you now, and not somewhere else. You know what the seventh trumpet says there in the Bible? The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. That's your seventh trumpet. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. I tried to preach a message back years ago about occupy till I come. You remember that? I tried to get you to see that Jesus told the church ages to occupy till he come, but said, when I get here, ain't going to be no occupying no more. As I told you, it'd be like a great big ranch. You know, you can't take care of all of it back in the days of the Indians and all this, that. No, you couldn't take care of all of it. You just have to get your little spot and occupy, wouldn't you? Take care of that. But when the Calvary comes, you clean it out. You go get the squatters and everybody that's built around you, and you clean it off because it's your land. You've got an abstract title deed. That's what the seals is for. It brings you an abstract title deed to eternal life. Luther had eternal life. But when he come out of the church, he was doing something then. When God said move, he moved. But now listen, the seventh trumpet to Israel is the same thing as the seventh seal is to the bride. Now let's just go over there in the tribulation for a minute. What happens in the tribulation with the two witnesses? Aren't they calling Israel out? Won't their message be calling them out away from all of that covenant the Antichrist has already made? You know the second coming that way over there in the tribulation, you know that there'll be a covenant made between the Jews and the Antichrist. And here's two witnesses calling out 144,000 to get away from that covenant that they've made. So it's still a calling out. It's still a what? Coming out of the church. Coming out of the church. When it ends in the millennium, it'll all be over with. Everybody will come out by then. It'll all be done over with. But now listen. The seventh trumpet to Israel is God using two witnesses to call out Israel. Now, those two witnesses are not the important thing you're getting at. It wasn't Luther the important thing I was pointing at a while ago. It was the God that was moving. It wasn't Wesley that I was pointing at. It was the God that was moving. It wasn't Pentecost I was pointing at. Neither was it Brother Branham in this last day. It's the God that's moving in the people. Calling them out. All right, now the two witnesses, they're not God, but yet they sound the seventh trumpet. Six of the trumpets already sounded. They get the seventh over there because that's page 39, Feast of the Trumpets. Jews called by the mystery of the seventh trumpet, which is two prophets. The mystery of the seventh trumpet is two prophets. Now listen, think with me. You'll run yourself off in a deep hole right there because if you make them the trumpet, you're in bad shape. But yet when you say they're the trumpet, they're the trumpet. It's just like it was back there. Brother Dick and I talk a lot about the Bible and things back there in when Paul was going up there on the road to Damascus, and that great bright shining light knocked him down. And when it did, what did he say? Who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now, it wasn't Jesus in the flesh out there being persecuted. It was the church being persecuted. See, it was the church, the main point. See what I'm talking about? It's not the trumpet now. The trumpet, the two witnesses, they're just a mouthpiece. They are just a trumpet like you blow. But it's what's behind the trumpet. Trumpet by itself won't do a thing in the world. Brother Branham was just a mouthpiece. See, the seventh trumpet to them is two witnesses. Two witnesses now. that God uses them to call out Israel. So then watch the seventh seal would be Revelation 18:4, come out of her, my people, because it would be a prophet standing here with a message to call the people out. See, he wouldn't be the seal. Just as they're not the trumpet. But the seal would be in him calling them to come out. The trumpet and the two witnesses call them, tell them to come out. Because it's the same. They are the witness. But something's moving behind them. See them come out. That's all Brother Branham could do. See, then the second coming of Christ then would be in you. Just like those two witnesses call out a church, and when that church comes out, who comes out? It won't be 144,000 with it. It'll be the God that's in them calling them out. You could have a little uprising and try to call them out. That wouldn't do you a bit of good, didn't Brother Brown say? They said, Brother Brown, should we take this to Israel? He said, stay away. I've often said it'd be dangerous with a person that really understood one true and living God to get those Jews together and do some talking. I'm serious. It'd be dangerous. You couldn't convert them, but it'd be dangerous. Brother Branham couldn't when he talked to that Jew out there and he told him those scriptures and everything. That man said, I'll hear you at a later date. See, it wasn't time. But that coming of Christ, that seventh trumpet to them calls them out. The seventh seal then would call us out. And then we'd be a part of it. Just like when Luther come out, that was the Lord that called him out. But Luther come out. He left too, didn't he? He didn't just stay there and say, boy, the Lord's called us out. Now that's what I'm against to the people of this message. I'm against that one thing. They say, we're out of organizations. Boy, we don't believe in organizations. They're like, we're talking about it, we don't believe in television. You know, they say, we don't believe in television, just like it don't exist, you know. That's what people say. We don't believe in television. Go by a window and look in there and see one on, you know. No need saying it that way. We just don't care about fooling with them. But they'll say, we don't believe in television. People this message say, we're out of the denominations. Boy, bless God, as I told you the other week, not throwing off on that man up there that Brother Woodby's talking about, but he'd pat his hand, he'd say, I ain't got one ounce of tradition in me. But when they told him about one God and water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he got up and walked out. Man sat in a cave for days and throw ashes on him. The Lord showed many things to him. But when it come to the Word, what I'm trying to get you to see is, church, if it's the Word or it ain't nothing. The Word's going to call us out or we ain't going. Brother Branham standing there with that message saying, come out of her. Come out of her. He knew it was going to be a rough road. He knew it was going to be a hard time. But now listen, two prophets appear on the scene to sound the seventh trumpet to them to make known, now I'm quoting from page 45 of Feast of the Trumpets, to make known unto them the Christ. See, that's what calls them out. When it's made known the Christ, that's what calls them out. That's what I'm putting all of it on Jesus Christ, the Word that's doing the calling out, because it's the Word in you that comes out. You just go along for the benefits. Now watch that tonight in the rapture, and you'll see what the rapture actually was, and Luther was a part of it. When God called Luther out, his flesh just went along. His flesh just come on. Because the God that was in him said, go. There was a rapture in process. When God calls you and tells you to come out, there's a rapture in process. But if he don't call you, there is no rapture. You can say we're in the message. You can say all you want to. But now listen. Two prophets make known the Christ. He goes right on talking. He says, and the seventh angel's message makes known the true Word to the Bride of Christ. See, then it's the Word. The coming of, watch now, the coming out of the bride. Let me restate. His coming is the bride coming out of the church. The coming out of the bride is his coming in her, into her to call her out. Now you see his second coming. The second coming now is his coming, is the bride coming to Christ, coming out of the church. And his coming, the bride coming out of the church, when Luther was coming out of the church, what was bringing him out? What was in him? Something had been put in him to call him out. That in itself was the coming of the Lord. See, I've said over and over and over, I'm not looking for the coming of the Lord. People look at you, you know, they wonder what you're talking about. I'm not looking for the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord done already over. But see, you got to know where he's at. Did he come out there on the railroad track or down at Lula or wherever? You got to know where he's at when you make that statement and say that I'm not looking for the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord's already over. Now, it might just be in my revelation. It might not be to you. Because it's in your revelation where he's coming at. Or it wouldn't be just coming out of the church. It'd have to be some physical, corporal return or something. It's your revelation is what brings it. Haven't we been taught that from the beginning? Isn't that the summing up of the prophet's message? That it's your revelation of God? Doesn't the whole Bible speak of that? Didn't Paul say, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me? And the life that I live by what? The faith, the revelation of the Son of the living God. Then it's your revelation. That's what it's all tied up to. The rapture won't be a body coming like the piano there to take us away. But Brother Brown said he becomes so visible among us till he raises the dead. We go into rapture. Then he's visible among us. You know what those people the wrong way? Oh, if he was among us, boy, look what would be happening because I can see more out yonder than y'all got. I got the word. You ain't got nothing to stand on. That's one of them things you got to come out of. That's one of them things I'm talking about. You've got to come out of your own thoughts. Show me in the Bible any man that ever come to the end of the road if it wasn't worse than it was in the beginning. You know what people want to do? They want to turn Brother Branham's message around. Didn't Brother Branham have more signs, miracles, and wonders and things in the early part of his ministry than did in the last? Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ have more signs, miracles, and things in his early ministry than did in the last? Well, then with the church, are we going to turn right around from that? No, we're going out here the same way they went out. That it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Now, it don't have to, but it will. You say, Brother Dale, you sure don't have a lot of confidence. I got the word. What do you got? The word tells me that Jesus had less miracles in the last part of his ministry than he did in the early. The prophet's message tells me the same identical thing. Then that tells me the church is going to come down to the place. Now listen, in Jesus' ministry, now, don't get me wrong. I'll say it this way. What man looked at, Jesus went the wrong way. You remember they told Paul? You remember Demas leaving Paul? He forsook him because really, Brother Ryan said the reason Demas left him, said he used to see him smite people blind and everything, said didn't get down the end of the road and going to jail, they ain't even got a coat on. But what did Paul say? He said, this is my crowning day. You think God had left him? God was on the scene more there than he'd ever been in his life. See what we look at, the miracles and the signs and the thing like that? A lot of denominations can do them. But they can't produce the word. There's a lot of people coming out. I was listening to radio this morning, just flicked it over after listening to a little bit of the tape. I flicked it over, and it's talking about the New Covenant Church. See, there's all kind of churches now that's coming out of this church. It isn't coming out of that and makes them anew. And then, but that's not the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is His Word revealed. It's Christ in me and you. But now listen. It took 4,000 years to get Jesus here in flesh. But that summed up His first coming. Then the second coming will be the same one. Won't it be summed up that God will be in human flesh, our flesh, living again. And the greatest of all miracles, signs, and wonders would have to be here then. Does that sound odd to say it one way a while ago and now turn back the other way? That's what I said. Man looks at the great signs. They look and think Paul really had to fail away from where he's at. But the greatest thing that ever happened was standing right there. Today he said, go ahead and chop my head off. Oh, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? See, it'll have to end the same way. God will be on the scene. He was on the scene more there. He'd never told that. Now listen, you think God wasn't on the scene, then you're fighting Scripture. He never told that to nobody else. Did He? Did God tell that to anybody else? All right, then he had to be on the scene and tell it to Paul. He said, oh, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? See, it no longer was the person. It was the God. Me and you go out of here, it'll no longer be the person. We're going to have to die from all that. We're going to have to get rid of everything in us that would be a hindrance. Thoughts, ideas, anything in the world. And just sit down on the Word then. And take God at His promise. I've tried to get people to see that God would put His church through a test to see who she was. Now He'll have to do that. To do that, now watch the way I say it. To do that, it looks like He just withdraws Himself. Read Songs of Solomon and see if God don't withdraw His presence there from that little woman. And she searches for Him. You know the Scripture. She searches for Him. Says, if you've seen my lover, tell Him. She searches and searches. But He's not far. See, we're not defeated. We're at the end. I've tried to tell you that from the beginning, that it would get worse and worse and worse and worse, but as it does, God just comes more on the scene. What do you think you're going to do one of these days, church, when they put a gun to your head and say, deny what you're talking about? You say, oh, I'm having heartaches and troubles and trials. I'll swap with any of you. You want to swap with me? I'll trade places with you, be glad to. But I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't trade heartaches with you. I love it where I'm at. Because God's on the scene. God tells me and God holds me. Who's been holding you all this time? Is it you've been holding yourself? When they asked Brother Branham, said, Brother Branham, in the death of your daughter and your wife, said, did you hold your religion? He said, no, it helped me. Are you holding on today? No. I ain't able to. Just like Luther wasn't able to come out of the Catholic Church. But when God said, come on, God's holding me. That's all I can depend on. It's all I can see is Jesus Christ and Him holding me. But watch tonight and you'll see it, the Lord willing, you'll see the very thing repeat right again that you're not going to be looking for the rapture. It's already passed. You say, yeah, but we're still here. That ain't got nothing to do with it. What's that got to do with it? Scripture says, by His stripes you're healed. Some of you are still sick. But yet you quote the Scripture and believe it and say, by His stripes I'm healed. Might be 20 years later. What do you think about Abraham and his promise? See, church, what I'm wanting you to see is don't look out that way. That's fine to look to the future, what will be. That's fine. But look at what's already passed and look what's happening right now. God wants to live among us. God's whole desire. Listen, page 22 of Feast of the Trumpet, when Brother Brown talked about the seventh seal being the coming of the Lord, he said it's the minute or hour of His coming. The minute or the hour of His coming. And He said on the seal book, you remember when we brought it out here a while back, that the seven thunders would sound right around the coming of the Lord. Seven thunders would sound right around the coming of the Lord. I believe we're in that hour. It's the minute or the hour of His coming. Do you know when His coming is consummated to you? It might be the wrong word to use, but I mean ends to you. When you see what it is. When you yourself catch what it is. You say, let me give you an example. You say, I'm sick and I need healing. You say, and I mean you say it by revelation. It's revealed to you. You say, by His stripes I'm healed. Are you healed any more the day that the sickness leaves or you are that day? See, I told the brothers in the ministry meeting, I said, we're looking at even healing backwards. Because that's a manifestation. When the sickness goes away, that's a manifestation. That's not the healing. Healing's done. The Bible says by His stripes we were healed. So you're already healed here when you receive the word. Then over here is when the manifestation comes. Somebody be standing on this earth and say, we're already raptured. That I've got the revelation that we're already raptured. And that person will probably be the worst, sickest, hard-hittest, and beat down the most of anybody around. But they'll still say, we're already raptured. See people looking at the manifestation, missing the word. Take the word for what it says. If you think that ain't right, you explain it to me. You're sick. My wife, she's had a headache this morning. Now the Bible says, by His stripes I was healed. She was healed back there. Now that happened back there. Where was she healed at? She's healed 2,000 years ago. Now when's the manifestation come? You say, Lord, heal me. Now reveal to me, Lord, and I'm already healed. See, the manifestation take care of itself. Rapture will take care of itself when we get it. See, when you see it, it'll take care of itself. You don't have to worry about it. Because the Lord willing, if we ever get down and see it rightly, rapture is revelation, and revelation is an 8. Revelation is eternity. The seven seals can only bring you up to the place that you can go into the 8. But if 07 ain't right, you ain't going into 8. You don't come 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, George. You don't come out of way. You got to come 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And when the seventh seal is completed, there is an eternity. The seventh seal ends all things. It is not eternity. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ in your new birth. There's eternity. Because that's what the seventh seal is. Jesus Christ revealed in a new birth. I'm quoting from the prophet. It's off of Christ and Mr. God revealed. It's Jesus Christ revealed in a new birth. I believe that's it. I'll find it for you. Then what is it? Everything in the Bible's got to speak of one thing. Jesus Christ. What do you need this morning? As Brother Woodby told us at the minister's meeting, he said, put your faith to a challenge. Call for it and let's see if it'll happen. Call for it on the basis of what you believe. Can you do that? Can you base it on what you believe? Now, not what's going to be. On what you believe now and what's already been, can you call for it and believe it'll come? He said that the other day. I went home. I said, Lord, our old freezer has been making a racket for quite a few many years. Is that right? Did you hear it last night and this morning? I said, Lord, on the basis of what I believe, I've prayed for that freezer because that hindered me more than anything in the world. I could have spent money and had it fixed. I mean, that wouldn't be nothing. But it's just something I didn't want to pay for having it fixed. Now, it might be squawking his head off the time we get home. I ain't got nothing to do with it. I don't believe it will, but it can. Because you can be sick and healed and sick and die, you know, the next day. I ain't got nothing to do with it. But I called for that the other day at work. And I said, Lord, I called for it. That thing won't be making no racket. I didn't even pay no attention to it. Come on home. That was the middle of the week. Yesterday, I was listening. You know, I don't even hear that thing. I went out there and listened. I went everywhere and listened. Can you call for it on the basis of what you believe? Call for it right now. Not on what you will be. Just take it that way and that headache will leave. On the basis of what you believe, not what you will be. On where you've come to where you are now, because God brought you or you didn't come. You just got your coat and hat and left. Just come on over here. Now you can do that, but now we don't. I don't believe that. I believe God's brought us where we are now. On the same basis I've called for my children. On what I believe, I've called for yours too. On what I believe. If we don't get them in this world, we'll get them in the next one. He can give them to us at the White Throne Judgment. It's on what you believe. Do you believe this morning? Do you believe the Word? Can you believe? Listen, if you can't believe the Word, I mean even here like Jesus said. He said, if you can't believe my Word, believe my works. See, if you couldn't believe what he was saying, if you can't believe what I'm saying, then just believe the works. Or if you can't believe the works, believe what I'm saying. Just believe what's already been. What's brought you where you are now, believe it. And just accept it. And say, I call for it. Now don't just haphazardly say, yeah, I call for it, you know. Get down serious. Try it. Don't the Bible say, try me? Call for it and see where it'll come or not. I've called many times. You don't know how many times I've called for that freezer to stop that doing. I've laid hands on that thing 1,000 times, I'll bet you. Because it was just something in me. It ain't the money. It wouldn't have been nothing for me to just bought another freezer. I mean, I ain't got that much money, but $200 or $300 for another freezer wouldn't have made no difference. I lay out of work enough for that, you know, vacations and stuff. I could just work one Saturday when I went off to pay for the thing. But it was just something in me. I just kept praying, Lord, bring me to the place where I can call for that. And I come home, I call for it there at work. I come home, didn't even pay any attention. Same way my eyesight was healed. I didn't even know it was healed. Same way my blood type was changed. I didn't even know it was changed. I went to the doctor. Call for it and believe it. Don't call for it. So I want to see it. I want to see it. Just call for it and you'll see it. Let's stand together. (clears throat) 229. Let's sing this. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood abide. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood abide. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweet. I challenge you, faith. Call for what you need. believe it. If it's for a loved one, call for it. If it's for something that you need in your own life, church, we got to come out. We got to get away from our reasoning. That's the worst one to me. Memory, conscience, and all those things. That's what Paul tried to get them to do. I've let that hinder me too long. I've actually let things hinder me that wouldn't even never come to pass. Have you done it? Have you worried about things and thought about things and imagined that, you know, and it didn't even come to pass that way? Like I've told them at work, I've done it many a time. I've got down there at work, maybe me and my wife would have a little cross words, something before I left to go to work. I'd get at work and I'd build all day long. Boy, I'm going to tell her this and that, and boy, well, this. And get home, and when I walk in the door, she'd put her arms around my neck and say, hey, honey, I've been praying for you all day. Well, boy, down it goes, you know. Because that just killed all of my big plans I had for a good fight when I got home. But we've got to get away from all that. Until we get to the place that it's Jesus. Jesus alone. Not me and my thoughts or me and my ideas. It's Jesus. Just rest in Him. Lord, kill my reasoning. Kill my memory. All of them things. Affections. Kill all of that, Lord. Until I'm no longer alive. Until you can slap my face and I say, here's the other side. Until you can call me names and I say, I love you. Until you can do anything to me. That's what the early church done. And Brother Brown said the same spirit that caused them to do that is the same spirit you use daily to overcome. The same spirit now that they died under. And they walked up there loving them people until even the guards and things that were carrying them to be crucified would go to the fire themselves, that they'd see Jesus. But the same spirit that done that's the same spirit today that'll take us in the rapture. We'll have to look for something else. We're looking for the supernatural when it's already here. We just believe it. God's goal from the very beginning in Genesis was to have a group of people that would love Him, that it didn't matter what happened, life, death, or whatever, would love Him and want to serve Him. That's all He's ever wanted. He'll get that in the end time. Brother Radden said that early, that Eve, when she fell away, he said there'd be a bride in the end time that would prove she wouldn't fall. Well, that can only be Jesus Christ to keep me from falling. Or I'll fall myself. Just as I come out of a lot of churches. But when he said, come on, that was where it was at. I left the Baptist, left another church in this message, left out of another. I've been coming out ever since. I'm still coming out. The more I preach, the more I see I got to come out. That's the worst part. I can see myself. Let's just pray. Father, we ask you, Lord, that these words would not return void, but would accomplish the purpose, Lord, that they were sent by. We pray that you guide each one of us this afternoon, and let us, Lord, as we rest a little while and talk and eat and fellowship, whatever we do today. Let it be, Lord, that our thoughts would be on you. That we would be resting in you. Bless the people as they travel on the highways. Gather us all together in your loving grace. In Jesus' name. You're dismissed.
Take the name of Jesus with you.